Welcome everybody to another thrilling, exciting, wonderful episode of HomeKit Insider. It is me, Andrew, here with my friend Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Those intros getting more and more outlandish. Sounds like an action movie.
Oh yeah. People are gonna tune in just for the intros.
We need one of those like the trailer voiceover guy, you know, has a really deep voice. Or maybe Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, in a world. Okay, well, let's talk about some HomeKit stuff. That's what people are here for. Hey, and thanks to everyone. We've gotten a number of new reviews in the last couple weeks, and they're all 5 stars. We are rocking that 5-star train, so thank you all who have given those reviews and ratings. We really appreciate it. And tell your friends about HomeKit Insider. So the first piece of news, VocaLink, our good friends. You heard Andrew review their air purifier on the last episode. Well, now they've announced that they have a VocaLink mist flow humidifier that's coming soon. It's not available just yet, but this is going to be a HomeKit enabled humidifier. So it looks like for all your air control needs, whether it's purification or humidifying, and they also have that oil diffuser, the HomeKit oil diffuser that's available as well. VocaLink's the place to go for all your air needs.
I think that's pretty interesting because I did the I can't think of what they called it, that diffuser that they talked about before. So we reviewed that. That was prior to the existence of HomeKit Insider. But I reviewed that one, and I thought it was really cool. It was a really neat concept to be able to control, like, essentially like an oil diffuser through HomeKit. But they actually kind of use the humidifier kind of standard. So it actually shows up as like a humidifier in HomeKit, and they even market it partially as a humidifier. And if you have a really small room, it can do just that. But I'm really excited for an actual, like, larger, real humidifier to work with HomeKit. I don't know about where you are over there in freaking Florida, but
we don't need any more
where
humidity.
We are in Ohio, there is no humidity in the winter, and it gets so dry. It is insane. Yeah. And we definitely have to use a humidifier, and we have done so for a while, but I'm excited to have one actually controllable through HomeKit instead of some of the dumb ones, or using the smaller VocaLink one, which just does not do the job when you're wanting to use it actually as a humidifier.
Yeah, exactly. So it's coming soon. Stay tuned. We'll definitely break that news once it's available here in the U.S. Also, Akara are good friends with their HomeKit devices. I know I have a couple switches, motion detector, and all that. They announced on their Twitter that they're going to be available in Apple stores in Hong Kong and Macau at first. But pretty interesting that they landed in Apple stores. I imagine if they are starting in those, eventually in the U.S., when Apple stores open again someday, you might find some Akara products right there in the Apple store. And didn't they also announced that they have some upcoming products down the pipeline in the Akara brand, different things like ambient light sensor and a smart roller blind motor.
Well, we touched on some of them a while ago. Pretty sure like a month or so ago, there was like, I don't know if it was a leak or they're announcing, but like a dozen different HomeKit stuff was coming from them. I was most excited for their camera, which has actually started to come out already, and a few of those other things in there. So I'm excited to see what else they got. I've always liked their stuff, just mainly because it's so affordable and they got so much of it. Like, it's really easy to add on buttons and motion sensors and things like that. So once you kind of buy into their hub, their security system, which isn't really that expensive to begin with, but once you kind of buy into that, you can really add on a ton of accessories there. So I'm excited to see what else they got coming.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and now our developer friend, I'm going to try to say his name, Matthias Hotchkisser. Does that sound even close? Maybe?
I'm not sure. There might be a couple extra syllables in there, but I mean, not 100%.
If I were just to say it like the letter say, it's Hotchkisser, because there's E-R-E-R on the end of his last name. But anyway, Matthias, he makes the well-known app Home Plus 4. We've talked about that app here on the show. It's a great alternative to using Apple's dedicated home app, and you can do all the automations. But now he released another app. This one is actually free. Home Plus 4 is a paid app, but he has now released something called Home Configurator. It is a free app, and it does give you access to see your devices and control them. It has limited functionality where you can't do like automations and doing schedules and all that. But if you're looking for an alternative just to kind of see your devices and quickly control them, this one is free. We'll put a link in show notes. It's called Home Configurator by Matthias. And if you like that, you know, again, check out his Home Plus 4 app that we've talked about on the show before.
I really like this app, man. I've been playing around with this. This is really nice. Like, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't allow you to create automations and stuff like that, but it's really about controlling your home. And let's be real, we should be more focused on controlling our home than creating all those things. We should hopefully be able to set those things up and then just be able to enjoy our smart homes. For a lot of people out there, this is what they need. Like being able just to literally see, like when you open this up, it breaks it down to all your accessory types at the top. Then you have all of your rooms. Then you have all of your zones below that. So you open this up and you can just, you know, you're trying to control your blinds in the living room. I can open it up, see blinds, and immediately control it. Or I can immediately jump in and go into my kitchen. And you go into the kitchen, I can see my camera right at the top, then all of the accessories in that room, statuses. It's really fast. Sometimes the home app, like Apple's home app, it can get like slow when you're trying to, you know, use that drop down in the upper left-hand corner to switch between rooms, and
oh yeah,
it can be a thing. So I really like this because it's just so quick to get to all of your HomeKit gear. Plus it's free, which is just always good.
So link in show notes to that app. You can download it, check it out there. Also Abode. We've talked about Abode before when we've discussed home security systems. It's kind of a do-it-yourself home security system, and they even have the option to pay for like a month of monitoring on your home. So maybe you don't want to pay every month all the time.
Or even a weekend.
Yeah, even a weekend. Yeah, it really breaks it down. But they are now available in the UK. So our good friend William Gallagher from Apple Insider and all of you who listen over in the UK, you can now get some Abode services and home automation and security and all that. So check them out. We'll put a link to Abode's website in show notes as well, and you can learn all about them. All right, so let's do some follow-up. Andrew reviewed the Vocalink PureFlow air purifier last week, and you have some follow-up points on that. Hit me.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. So we saw a bunch of different feedback kind of just across the board. We saw people tweeting at us from who listened on the podcast. We had people who were coming from appleinsider.com and commenting on our review there. And then, of course, we had more people over on our YouTube channel, on our YouTube review, throwing more follow-up questions there to everything. So we literally had people coming at us from every side asking us kind of more follow-up things on this air purifier. The first one that is probably the most obvious, you guys liked this thing because they ran out of stock really quickly after all of our reviews went up and the podcast went live. So that's out of stock at the moment, but it is supposed to be back in stock on September 15th. So if you did not get one the first time, but you're still mulling it over, they are out of stock now, but you can get a new one in a few weeks. So that is still a good thing. That'll still be in stock relatively soon, about a month away. So it's not terrible, but it is out of stock at the moment. We did have a lot of people commenting on the display. There's not really much to it. A lot of people did not like how large the display was, and we don't have like, you know, defense of that. If you don't like how it looks, you don't like how it looks. The one thing I can say is it can just be turned off. That's the biggest thing. Then you don't really notice it because it is an OLED display. It pretty much just goes all black when it's not being used, which is good. So you don't really notice it when it's off. It just, you turn off that light bar on the front, turn off the display, and you pretty much just kind of have a simple look to it. And the air purifier itself, taking out the display, it looks pretty much like most other air purifiers out there. The one from Xiaomi, the Mi Air Purifier 3, I think, is the one that I've got lying in my basement. It looks similar to the blue ones, but they have the kind of a little more stylized to it with the colors, the pre-filter for them, as they call it. But the shape and everything, it's pretty standard as far as air purifiers go, the kind of rounded, boxy design. But yeah, the display can be turned off if that wasn't clear before. That's the biggest thing I would say. I like that it's there for that option, but you don't have to have it staring at you the entire time. I guarantee there are some people out there who are super nerdy about their air quality and actually really like to see all of that information. It is very dense with information, and they're probably geeking out about it and loving it. But there's other people who, like, I don't want to see numbers on my air purifier. I just want to be able to control it and see it. And for them, just turn it off. The other thing is we had a lot of debate on price with this. I don't think the price is bad. Looking at Dyson, looking at the Rabbit ones, looking at the Blue Air purifiers, this is pretty much on par. We're not going to do a huge comparison between all these. Dyson is typically, I mean, it is more expensive, and there's ones that are similar in price. There are ones that get down to $400 when they're on sale. I think it's like the VP01 or 02, something like that. But it cleans a lot less air than this one does. Like, it's rated for like 30% less, 30% like smaller room. So you can get a Dyson one that's close to this, but you're not going to get nearly as much coverage with it. That is a consideration to make. You can get a Dyson one, doesn't have home kit, and it cleans a smaller space. So that is a trade-off there. Comparing to the blue ones, this is actually pretty much, I think, like the same price, or this is a little bit cheaper than the blue. I think it's like $420, something along those lines. We talked about that before, and this one cleans, again, more space, but it also has home kit and all those additional sensors in there. Compared to a dumb one, we had a lot of people who were saying they were going to make their own by using a smart plug and an air purifier, which is totally doable. And we actually did a tutorial on that a while ago before there was a real HomeKit air purifier on the market. But the problem with that, you actually have to find an air purifier that has essentially a mechanical switch. The problem, what happens is people, like, essentially the HomeKit outlet cuts power to the air purifier.
Right.
So you turn it off and on, and a lot of times you'll cut the power, it'll bring it back, you'll bring power back on, but the air purifier won't kick back on. It essentially reboots, and it comes back on to its, like, off or idle state.
Yes.
So you need one that either has a mechanical switch that's actually forever in the on position, so you can control it with that HomeKit switch, or something like the blue that we looked at, that's the one that we recommended originally in our coverage, because it doesn't have a mechanical switch. It has a little, like, touch sensitive button on the front, but it does come back to its previous state when it is plugged back in. So it does allow you to control it with a smart plug there. But again, while I really, really love the blue, I bought one, we have one here in our house, covers smaller area, and it's more expensive, and you're still stuck with the fact that it doesn't have all of the additional HomeKit sensors in there. There's no humidity, no temperature, no air quality sensor in those air purifiers. So you're going to be at that point buying your air purifier, a HomeKit plug, and a HomeKit sensor. You're easily going to be up above what this is going to cost for a decent air purifier that'll work with this, plus all the additional accessories. So that can get pretty expensive. Yes, you can take a Dyson that you already have, connect it to HomeBridge, do it that way. If you've already got your Dyson and you're comfortable using HomeBridge, and you've got something that's perpetually running as your HomeBridge server, Raspberry Pi, and always on Mac, good. You can go ahead and do it that way. That is absolutely an option. A lot of people are not going to want to do that. A lot of people don't have desktops. A lot of people don't have a Raspberry Pi. A lot of people aren't going to want to program and set up HomeBridge on their own. So while that is an option, it's not going to be an option for everyone. So as far as price and features are, I still stand by this. I still think it's a great product, what they packed in here. And I've definitely noticed a difference. Air quality is so insanely hard to measure, you know, complete accuracy, because it literally depends on airflow, people in the room, you know, time of day, placement in the room. Just so many things can throw these tests kind of out of whack. But I can definitely tell a difference. I've had so much less issues with, you know, sneezing and kind of stuffy noses and stuff like that when I have this off, just because allergen and pollen just kind of really start to build up in our rooms. So I've definitely noticed a difference actually having this thing connected. I can't vouch that it can exactly purify a 645 square foot room, but it does a fantastic job for what I've tested. So that was just kind of a general follow-up here, answering at least some of the feedback that we heard from all of our different reviews that we put out there.
Yeah, and I'll just say, back to the using a smart plug to turn it on and off. You know, I have a diffuser, like an oil diffuser in my house, and I tried doing that. I used one of my Eve plugs. It has the same issue that you're saying. I mean, you can power it off and then put power back onto it. But once power is back on, like, it doesn't run. You have to have that secondary step of, you know, pressing the power button or programming it or however. You know, if you can get it to work DIY, great. But yeah, a lot of them, you're going to run into that issue. And I've also found, I mean, if you're really looking into, like, high-end air purifiers, you know, $400 is not even the highest. You know, you can go way up.
They get a lot higher. Oh, yes. Yeah,
they get a lot. And even the dumb air purifier that I got, it's an Air Doctor brand. I just looked now. I got it on sale, and it was like 300 something. But right now, I guess it's like up to 500. So, I mean, it, you know, the price is not outrageous. You know, even if it was a HomeKit and smart features aside, just as a regular air purifier, for sure. Well, tell me about, too, you had put on here the August keypad is out, available. You reviewed it. What's that?
We did the August lock a little while ago. The August Wi-Fi smart lock is their newest version, and it was really popular. We had a lot of people who were liking this, a lot of people who were kind of deciding between this and the level lock that we also reviewed. I really liked the August lock. That's the one that I'm currently using in our house. I know we talked about the Wi-Fi stuff. One thing I always come back to when I'm looking at reviews of these HomeKit things is, as long as there is these easy way to control them. This air purifier we were just talking about, there is a button on there where you can actually go and manually change it. So someone who is not using HomeKit, someone who's not tech savvy, can still control these things. And with the August, they did a really good job covering almost everything compared to regular lock. But there's always something that can be easier to do. So I actually went out and we picked up the August keypad. Now, this by itself is not HomeKit compatible because it's just a number pad, but it pairs with the August, which is HomeKit compatible. This has been out a while. It is not brand new, but I just picked this up for my home and I thought it was super useful. So I kind of wanted just to give a quick high level review of this. You can read the full review on Apple Insider. It'll be up by the time this podcast is up. It is literally as simple as it sounds. It is a small, compact keypad that can be mounted outside of your door, allowing you to have a number way, a numeric way of getting into your door, whether you don't have to rely on your phone. So this can be useful for really anyone that you want to give access to. And even when you don't have your phone or your watch, you're going outside, you don't have your phone, you don't have your watch, you still need to get into your house. You still want to be able to lock and unlock your door, whether you're going on a run. This gives you a physical way to unlock your door. This tiny little keypad is completely wireless, runs on a pair of batteries, and then Bluetooth connects to the August. So you put in your code, hit the August button on the bottom, and your door unlocks. It also has a quick lock feature, and I actually really like this. This has been super helpful. You walk out your door, press the little button on the bottom, the little August logo, your door locks. So it's a good way where you don't have to run any commands. You don't have to tell HomeKit. You don't have to wait, you know, hope an automation that runs when you leave or anything like that. You can just manually lock the door right behind you. Very handy. You can also give out different codes to different people. So we've given out like one code to my mother-in-law, who's older and doesn't have a phone at all. She literally doesn't have a cell phone. So there was no way for her to use HomeKit or anything to get in. And we could give her a key, which would absolutely work. But using the passcode, is she doesn't have to worry about a key. She doesn't have to remember a key. She doesn't have to store a key. She doesn't have to worry about losing it or anything, or which one it is on her key ring. It's literally just shows up, puts in her code that she knows. She's very familiar with the number that we used, and boom, she gets into the house while we're gone. Very easy to do. You can also do this if you have a cleaning services or a pet sitter or anything like that. And each code can be unique. So that way you can actually see when that person comes and unlocks your door because it ties to their individual passcode. So there's a lot of benefits here. I just love that it's another way to be able to control your door. You can now control it using HomeKit and the August app. You can control it just with a key like you normally would. And then you have a number pad where you can have a numerical way to get into your door. There's a lot of locks out there that have that you have to replace on the outside. You have to replace like the entire thing, and it puts that number pad on the outside of your door. A lot of people go for those because they want that physical way to get in as well as the other options, but you have to replace all of that hardware and it gets expensive. And I just love this, the fact that it can be mounted with an adhesive or with a set of screws right on your door frame, wherever you want to put it, just stick it on there. You have a number pad to get into your house. So it's a great kind of add-on to the August. It just makes it even better, in my opinion.
You know, I love this because my smart door lock, I mentioned before, is from my Vivint security system. I've added HomeKit through Home Bridge. There it is. But what I like about it is it has one of those keypads built in. And let me tell you, especially if you have kids, you know, they don't have smart devices, at least mine, the ages that mine are, they don't have smart devices to lock or unlock the door. You know, if we get home or whatever and they want to run inside, you know, for them to have to wait for us to unlock it or even talk to Siri, like they can just run up and put in a key code.
Yeah.
And so that keypad is extremely useful all the time. And we use that quick lock, like when I when any of us leave the house, my wife, me, or the kids, if we're running out, we say, hey, lock the door, or if I just do it, hitting that one button to lock it, super useful and really convenient. So I really like this. And I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'd be curious if something like Level Lock even has some kind of add-on or something like this, because this would be a huge deal. I think once you have a keypad, you don't go back because you do use it a lot.
Yeah, and Level Lock doesn't have anything like this at the moment. They just have that simple lock. There's no accessories that kind of connect to it, just the Level Lock on its own. So yeah, this has been great playing around with this for the past week or so. The buttons are feel very nice. It feels very solid and premium. It sticks out a little bit, which can be a little bit odd depending on where you put it out. Like it is fairly thick for as like skinny as it is, but it doesn't look too big. You can check out the photos in the review for yourself to kind of judge that, but I think it looks pretty handsome, and you don't have to change any of your hardware. Mount it wherever you want. Buttons are nice and tactile, easy to use, and it does, it is backlit. It's a nice bright red backlight when you're going to approach it, like at night or something, you start pressing the buttons and it lights up so you can see what's going on. I've been really happy with it. I've been impressed with it. Just a really nice, easy way to upgrade your August lock. I just love that you can keep all of your existing hardware there and just add even more functionality, make it even more
And useful. And again, like giving little key codes to family and friends, it's, yeah, super useful. And then you could just say like, oh, just text them the 4-digit thing and you're good to go. You don't have to try and share something or worry about if their phone can do it and the technical aspect of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had a couple listener questions here that we got on Twitter. The first one, this is from Ian Judd on Twitter. He was asking, would love to know if you had, so let me start again. He said, if you only had funds for one Apple HomeKit hub, which one would you buy? And basically, I'm going to leave the iPad out of this equation because, again, we've had spotty information and usefulness using an iPad as a home hub. So if we had to choose between an Apple TV or a HomePod as the home hub for your house and you're only having one, which do you choose? And while you think about it, Andrew, I'll tell him, because I tweeted right back at him. I said, if you don't have an Apple TV yet and you're in the Apple ecosystem, presumably this is why you want a HomeKit hub, so you have an iPhone or iPad already, I would go Apple TV just because, I mean, I stream everything through my Apple TV. You know, once you start being able to AirPlay stuff to your TV, you don't go back, you know, into mirroring and AirPlaying. And, you know, if you're using any kind of streaming services, I have an Amazon Fire Stick and I've used Roku before and all that, but I just really like the Apple TV, you know, for all of its quirks as far as navigation and how many different things are actually called Apple TV, the hardware, the service, the app on the thing. You know, it can be confusing, but the device itself is pretty great. And again, that's, we watch everything through an Apple TV in our home. We stream everything, the kids, me and my wife. So I would go Apple TV as a home hub. What about you, Andrew?
Well, I think it depends on the person. I would definitely say I love my Apple TVs. I use them extensively. We have three in this house, two of the 4Ks and one of the just Apple TV HD, and they're amazing. There's so much stuff to do with them. I really, really like them. They are still by far my favorite streaming device between smart TVs, Rokus, Fire, Google Chromecast, all of that stuff. So I love the Apple TVs, but it's hard to exactly say which one is best, because your Apple TV is great because it gives you all of that TV capability. But if you're already happy with a Roku or you got a Roku Ultra or something on there, you don't need to buy an Apple TV to replace something that you already have. You may be better served with a smart speaker. And like we've seen consistently, home pods on sale for like $200. I think that's a really good price for that speaker. It sounds amazing, and $200 is great from that original price. And you get the actual smart speaker functionality, the speaker functionality, home hub for your house, and it's going to get even more powerful, obviously, with iOS 14 and some of those new features coming down the line. So it really just kind of depends. I use my Apple TV more than my home pod, but you're not going to get any better functionality HomeKit-wise through either of them. I'd probably go, if you don't have an Apple TV, go with the Apple TV, but the HomePod is just an amazing way to control your house if you don't have one of those already.
Yeah, and I will also comment. So the HomePods at the time of this recording are actually on sale at Best Buy right now for $200.
Of course.
What's interesting is I set those. So I had two Sonos ones with Alexa, and I wanted to replace them with HomePods for a variety of reasons. It was annoying to try and manage my smart home devices in HomeKit and also in Amazon's Alexa app. You know, I had certain shortcuts that I just can't run through Alexa. And I just wanted to be able to say the word and run my shortcuts from my living room. And that's where I had the Sonos and I had another one in the kitchen. So I replaced those with HomePods. And I will say I'm looking at my Home app. We talked about this on last week's episode, where if you go to the Home app, you click the little home icon in the top left corner, and then you scroll down to hubs and bridges, you know, you could see all the different devices that can act as a hub in your house. And from our listeners, like last week mentioned, they did purchase a second device and it seemed to extend that Bluetooth range to certain HomeKit devices. But I'm looking at it now and I actually have two Apple TVs currently connected. One of them is a 4K. And then I actually have three HomePods now throughout the house. And on this list of all the home hubs, and one HomePod is actually right next to my Apple TV 4K. It's in the same room. It still, for some reason, defaults as the 4K Apple TV is connected as the main home hub, and the other HomePods and the other Apple TV is in standby mode. Now, I don't know if there's any technical reason. I don't know if the Apple TV 4K is just a more powerful computer, you know, its chip or whatever inside, or maybe it has slightly better Bluetooth range for devices. But it seems like HomeKit really defaults to that 4K Apple TV device, at least in my house, as the main hub, and then the HomePods separately. I don't know if it was the order that I got these things in, although I think I had a HomePod before I got my 4K. I had just the HD Apple TV first. So I don't know. That's just a point of information. Again, I have no reason to think that a HomePod would be give you less range on your devices, but for some reason in my house, it keeps, no matter how many HomePods I have around, it seems to keep defaulting to that Apple TV 4K.
When I was going through some developer stuff a while ago, I read just, it almost has to do, like there's no clear reason of why one is picked over the other. It can literally be sometimes which one is plugged in first. And people had success in cycling their primary home hub by unplugging the power to like their HomePods or their Apple TVs until one becomes like the active one, and then plugging their other stuff back in. And then once it's like become your active hub, it like stays that way until for some reason it decides to switch. But I've had people doing stuff like that to try to switch which one of their active devices is their primary hub and the rest are on standby. Literally just unplugging them and plugging them back in until the right one stayed connected.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's not a good answer.
Oh, and also just a point of information. So I put those HomePods. They apparently have been sitting in Best Buy for a while because they were still on OS 11. And, you know, right now HomePods should be on like 13.6 or 13.5 something. I had to Google how to force update the stinking HomePods. I really thought, and this is just if any of you are getting a HomePod or want to update yours, you can't go to the specific device in the Home app and force a software update. For some reason, where you go is, where I just mentioned before, you open the Home app on the main Home tab, you click the little Home icon in the very top left, and if you scroll down to Software Update under Speakers and TVs, there you can update the software. It should update automatically, and it probably would have updated overnight if I would have just left it alone. But I really wanted to force update it because I couldn't do multiple speakers without the latest OS on the HomePod. So that's where you go to update your HomePod. On Apple TV, you can update it right on the device. You go to Settings, or you go to General and then Software Update. But HomePods, you have to go to the little Home icon in the Home app, scroll down to Software Update. Just FYI.
The only reason I think it's there is I kind of have this feeling that Apple is eventually going to move software updates into the Home app from third-party apps, because that is one of the kind of the odd pain points with third-party ones. Yeah. So I can kind of see them putting it into that main spot. While it's awkward now, I can feel it making more sense down the line when, like, perhaps all HomeKit updates are forced through that Home app into that one spot.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be interesting because I had one of my Acara switches that I had installed and is working now. It works great, but there was a firmware update, and for some reason, like, it was telling me in the Home app I can update the firmware, but I had to go to the Acara app And for some reason, after the firmware update, it got disconnected from HomeKit. And so I had to reset it, hold it down, and repair it. So yeah, it would be nice to see firmware and software updates be a little more streamlined, especially if they're HomeKit devices. Can you update Eve apps? Can you update their firmware from the Home app directly, or do you do the Eve app?
You have to go through the Eve app.
Okay, yeah.
You cannot do any software updates at all through the Home app except for the HomePod.
Right. Right.
Some devices actually happen in the background because there is no other third-party app. Like, notably, the Circle View, right? That's the new one.
Yep.
Since there is no Logitech app to accompany it, it actually gets its update just over the air, automatically. You have no control over when that happens. It literally just automatically downloads, like, overnight and just does it.
All right. One other listener question, and this was actually an email. This is from, his name is George Kaplan, and he was asking about the Vocal Link, which you had mentioned a lot of those questions, and he was wanting to do the smart plug physical switch air purifier. And so he was thinking, you know, are there any mid-sized room air purifiers with mechanical switches? And so I was perusing, I don't have personal experience with this, but I went to Wirecutter, which is now actually owned by the New York Times. I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway, Wirecutter, they have a bunch of picks. The Wirecutter is also great pick. And now this is way more expensive. This is like $500 to $600, depending on where you can get it. But this is a Austin Air HealthMate HM400 model. And this air purifier has a physical toggle switch, kind of like a rotary switch, like a fan. You would almost put it on like high, medium, and low. Doesn't seem to have many features, but Wirecutter said it was also great. So I imagine it'd be a decent air purifier. And it looks like it has a physical switch. And so if you plug that into a smart plug, you might be able to automate that. It's more expensive than the Vocal Link air purifier, but if you really want to do it, actually it's on sale on this one website called Sylvain. Never heard of this website, but it's on sale for $415. Still $15 more than the Vocal Link, but it's there as an option. So thanks for that question, and I'll put the link to this air purifier that's on sale in show notes.
I think Blue is the one that we keep coming back to because that's the one that we had tested before. So the Blue Air Blue Pure 121, that one's a little bit more than the HomeKit one is, the Vocal Link is. That's around $440, $420, somewhere in there. But that's the one that I tested, and it works. But they also have a smaller one. So it's still a three-stage washable pre-filter, has the carbon in there. That is actually on sale. I don't know if it'll be on sale by the time this podcast drops, but that's down to $99. So it's a lot smaller than like the 121, but that may work just because I know that the larger models do work. So there's no mechanical button. It may still work for that situation. And since we're talking about purifiers again, I have to go back to the Vocal Link because I just saw when I was looking that up, they actually have a bunch of bundles. Like, you can bundle
the
Vocal Link for the same price.
Yeah.
So you could buy their purifier for $400, but you can also get the purifier plus one of the Vocal Link color bulbs for $400, or the Vocal Link and their smart door and window sensor for $400, or pick up the purifier and a smart plug for $400, like $20, $25 savings on each of those bundles.
They're making it real hard to not get it.
I know. Like, I'm sorry.
Best option. All right, this was another tweet we got. This is from, I think, a developer. His name is Matt Corey. Yeah, he is a developer. He's got several apps in the store. We'll put a link to his website where he's got some of his apps. But he commented about the idea of widgets that are coming in iOS 14 and what will be possible regarding HomeKit. And so he said in the tweet that apps can create one or more touch targets to launch an app. On the small size widget, there can only be one touch target. Probably on the larger wide one or the big four one, you can have multiple touch targets. So you can take a specific action on a HomeKit device. So we might see widgets from different HomeKit developers where you can control certain devices from a widget. But he says the major limitation is third-party apps can't read or get updates from HomeKit while running in the background. So while you may have a touch target where you can control a device from the widget, you won't be able to see the status of that device from the widget. So if you wanted to have a lamp on a widget to control, you might be able to have that button, but you won't be able to see the status. Now, if you're in the room with the lamp or whatever, then you can just see if it's on or off and do it. But you can't see the status of devices. So that's an interesting limitation. Hopefully that'll be changed in the near future. But that's a super interesting information. So thanks, Matt Corey, for that info. And again, we'll put a link in show notes to his app. He has something called a Money Master app and some other ones that we'll put links to. And yeah, appreciate that information.
Well, I think the one that Matt does is that's really good for home key users. I think it's called Home Flash, right?
Yes.
He's the one who creates the app that can flash your lights.
That's right.
Yeah, which I think is super useful. So Home Flash is a really helpful app. But yeah, that is a really awkward limitation, because not only seeing the status of like a light before you change it, but I would also have loved like maybe create a widget of like my air quality, and I could see the air quality in every room in my house inside of a widget.
Yeah.
Or motion sensor or anything like that. You know, really just any of those sensors in your rooms, being able to view those statuses in a widget instead of having to open an app to do that. So that's a very sad limitation to the new widget. So yeah, let's hope that that's important enough for Apple to push through a point update after 14 is released.
For sure.
So yeah, I want to do one more listener question. His name is Andrew. He is apparently the host of HomeKit Insider. And last week he asked, he was having, I've heard so. Yeah, pretty cool. He had an issue. I had an issue, if I'll be honest. I was setting up an air conditioner at my mother-in-law, father-in-law's house. And I was trying to get it to run as their iPad as the home hub so I can control the automations remotely. I wanted to be able to control the AC from here and automate it. It's literally just for one room, and we needed to keep the temperature at a good spot. And my mother-in-law, you know, she doesn't have a phone. Neither of them really use much. They have an iPad around the house. It's always plugged in. Perfect home hub. So what I had done was I created a new home on my phone. I invited them to it, so I was able to accept that invitation on their iPad, and then I took their iPad and enabled it with the home hub functionality within settings, and then I left the house and then promptly lost all connection to their AC. Right. It did not work, and in my head this was all it made very much sense. It should have been very straightforward. And unfortunately, it did not work, and I've been struggling with it for quite some time. A couple weeks now, I've been trying to figure this out, going back and forth between their house and my house, and doing more research, and trying to figure out why this is not connecting. I've reset the GE window AC unit, and still had no luck.
Oh.
But I finally did.
All right.
Find out what was going on. Apparently, you can only change like user settings and stuff like that, like settings for someone invited into your house, when you have a home hub.
Mm.
So I added them, which you can add people, but you can't like change their settings and do other stuff until you have a home hub. So in HomeKit's mind, I created a house. It was like my house, my second house. And then I added him, but his home hub was not recognized because I didn't already have a home hub, if that makes any sense.
What device were you using as a home hub in their house?
His iPad.
The iPad. And so did you see it in your home app under hubs?
No.
Interesting.
So to correct this, what I had to do was I went over there this time with my phone and my iPad. I used my iPad under my account, my Apple ID, and I made that into a home hub. Now I can more control users and do everything else. Once I did that, I was able to invite them again and make his iPad into a home hub, turn my iPad off from a home hub. His iPad correctly showed in there. Problem was solved. Literally was just order of operations. I could not add him and then make his device into a hub. His device could not be a hub until I already had a hub created okay. in that home.
Interesting.
I know it is one of the wonkiest things, but I felt very proud when I was able to figure this out, but there's just limitations within HomeKit. You cannot create those automations. You cannot control user settings and permissions, any of that stuff, until you have a home hub. You are really limited in what you can do when you don't have a home hub. And apparently, you cannot have an added user have their device as a home hub until you already create one under your Apple ID and then go through the workflow that way. So it was wonky, 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 but it worked. And if anyone out there is having a very similar, very niche situation, that's kind of what's going on.
So you added it as a second home in your account, right?
Correct.
So if you had, like, on your parents' devices, created a home with their iPad as the home hub, and then from their device invited you to the house, that probably would have worked from the beginning, yep. right?
That would have worked from the beginning. The main reason I didn't do that was just because I wanted to have control of it. I mean, I could have created it on theirs, and they literally never would have known what to change or anything like that. But I was, like, doing it from here. I kind of was, like, pre-setting stuff up. So I created the home and the rooms and all that to kind of get ready for it, and then was just adding them because they really didn't even need to do much with it other than have that iPad sitting there as the hub. So I created it on mine, but once it was already created, I didn't want to have to remove the device and then re-go through the setup process. Honestly, with that GE AC, the setup process was a little painful, and their app kept crashing. So I had a lot of issues with the GE, like, comfort app. So I didn't want to have to go through the process. Like, once I figured that out, I didn't want to have to go through the process of, like, deleting, removing the device, resetting the device, deleting the home from my account, creating a new home under their account, re-adding and configuring it, configuring the device, then adding myself to it. It was a whole lot more steps than just turning on my iPad as the home hub and kind of just pushing through that way. But yeah, had I done that from the beginning, that would have worked as well. But it's just a weird situation of the way that HomeKit kind of sees things, because really his device was allowed to be a home hub. As far as his device was concerned, like, it was enabled in his settings, but when he goes into his own home app, it wouldn't show the iPad as a hub.
Right.
Like, it made no sense. Like, you said use it as a hub, but it's not a hub. But why? It's not his home, because he can't be upgraded to, like, an adult or, like, a manager of the house or whatever it is until, you know, I have a home hub to begin with and can change the permissions on his account. So it was just wonky, but I'm so glad I got it figured out.
So now they have an iPad as a home hub, and that's their only home hub, right?
Correct.
And it seems to be working fine. You got remote control and pretty solid?
Yeah. I've got remote access. I've got it on a HomeKit automation schedule. Everything's been good.
Wow. All right, then. Well, very cool. Mystery solved. A listener question and answered, both by the same guy. Look at that.
Yes. Thank you, listener, for that insightful question and answer.
All right. Well, thanks for all those listener questions. Again, we love to get those tweets or emails, and then we can talk about them on the show. So keep sending them in. When you tweet, use the hashtag HomeKitInsider and mention Andrew and myself. Again, our Twitter handles are in show notes, and you can do that. Ask your questions any which way, and we'd love to answer them here on the show. If you have any products you have experience with or something that we've talked about on the show that you really enjoyed using, or information on, like, the home hub iPad situation, we'd love more information on that too. Thank you for everyone who's given us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. If you haven't yet, we'd appreciate if you took a moment and give us that 5-star rating and review. And you can also find links to everything we talked about in the show notes. Check out those awesome developers who are making HomeKit-enabled apps, and all the products are there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.